Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino's down in Studio X. He'll make sure that we're on course and on target. And you haven't entered the transfer portal, have you?
Not yet.
Everybody else seems to be today. Okay. All right. Don't do that. We will come up with a comprehensive NIL package for you to stay, Rhino. Don't you worry about that. Thank you guys for joining me. If you really want to join the show, you can do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395, and we can talk. And of course, as we did last week, we'll be updating you on the Mississippi State basketball game, currently trailing Kentucky 8-5 at the first media timeout, 15:55 left in the first half. Stayed off to a really slow start, got out to a 5-2 lead, and now Alabama. They got Alabama on the brain with all that's going on there. Kentucky off on a 6-0 run, stayed 2 of 6 from the field with an early turnover, and they had a block shot at the rim. Cam Matthews going up for a dunk, gets blocked. So we'll see if they can hang around here with Kentucky. Quad one opportunity for both teams, but for the Bulldogs, a chance to bounce back after a tough loss on Saturday, which Kentucky had as well. So kind of an interesting way to do this, I guess, is to talk about this team while they're playing a game currently. But I want to sort of look back at Saturday and you know, if we go back to the start of the year and the way this team was playing the first few weeks, I thought, okay, this is a team that they're going to contend for the SEC championship. That once Tolu Smith comes back, this is a lot more complete team than it was a season ago. And there's been some cracks in that since we've gotten to this point. Tolu has come back and it has looked like his normal self, but some of the guys who were stepping up in his absence have taken a step back. Deshaun Davis not playing at a very high level. Jimmy Bell, since he's been moved to the bench, has not been giving you anywhere near what he was giving you as a starter. And they're outside of Tolu and Josh Hubbard, State is struggling to find guys they can count on throughout the game. This team is still very much an NCAA tournament team. Don't take that the wrong way. I know bracketology, we just talked about it on Sports Talk Mississippi. They had State as a 9 seed. State's still in the high 30s as far as net goes. They play a ton of quad one games over the next couple of weeks. I think most of their games, actually, in the upcoming, basically to the end of the month, are you're looking at quad one. Obviously this week. Now, net this Saturday, with Vanderbilt, that is not one, but at Florida will be, Auburn is, at Ole Miss will be, at Alabama will be. I'm not sure where Georgia is, so I'll have to look at that one, but that's four straight after the Vanderbilt game that you'll have an opportunity to get quad one wins. And some of those games are winnable. Florida has not been great this year. Auburn, you get them at home. They've been good this year, but it's at home. Ole Miss in Oxford, anything can happen in that game. And then you saw when you played Alabama this past week that you can play with those guys. And State had a great chance to win a season ago in Tuscaloosa. So we'll see how it all pans out for Mississippi State. But at this point now, I think they're more just, I don't think, contending for the conference championship feels like it's going to be a bit of a stretch for them just because they have so many issues offensively. And then that's the same thing that it was a season ago. I think a big part of that is the absence of Andrew Taylor. We talked about him on Sports Talk as well, that, he just has not settled in here in Starkville as well as you might hope, and he's had to take time away from that. And, in this day and age, that's not something you want to trivialize or take lightly. But State was hoping on him, was counting on him to be a big part of this offense, and he hasn't been able to contribute that. then now you're missing Keyshawn Murphy as well. Keyshawn is the guy who's been able to give you some minutes off the bench and provide some spark there. But now he's off in terms of personal issues as well. As State now getting run up here. Now it's 15-5. Kentucky on a 13-0 run over the last 4 minutes. Goodness, State cannot do anything. They've got a couple of turnovers here. How many turns? Three turnovers already. State, Jans just had to call a timeout. So for the Bulldogs, you know, once they get past this game, winning at Rupp, no matter who you are or where you are in the world, it's always going to be tough to win at Rupp Arena. This is still a tournament team, but I think we have to scale back at my projections that they could be a team that would compete for the SEC championship. That they just don't have enough shooting power to do that right now. That you just can't count on just Hubbard and Tolu Smith and expect to get there. So unless somebody like Shaq Moore or DJ Jeffries turns into a more consistent every game scorer, it's just not going to be. That's just a stretch. That's just going to be a problem for the Bulldogs. And you know, you just hope you get through this evening relatively good. You know, I think State will be able to chip into this lead. I don't think they're going to get run off the court, but they're not playing well right this second. Shooting 25%, Kentucky shooting 60%, and those three turnovers in the first 6 minutes of the game is not good. You know, and turnovers have been an issue for this team this year. Jans addressed that a few weeks ago. He said that was their biggest issue overall, their inability to stop turning the ball over on the offensive end. And then defensively, I feel like this team is still good defensively, but they're not as good defensively as they were a season ago. I feel like they're lacking a little something here or there. That's not there from. See, I thought last season the defense showed up every game, and there have been some times this year where the defense has kind of lapsed off. So, say take a timeout. Good timeout from Chris Jans. A couple of three pointers, and now State's right back in the game. So, I feel like this team. I don't know if they're going to be up and down. I don't think it's going to be a roller coaster. They'll string some wins together at some point, and they'll probably push for 9-10 wins in the conference, which will be plenty. Which will be plenty to get them into the NCAA with a decent seed. The question becomes this for me with Jans. Then is, you know, once you lose Tolu, and you know you're going to lose Jeffries, you're going to lose Deshaun Davis, Matthews, all these guys. These are all upperclassmen. They're all seniors. You know, maybe they have a COVID year left, but I think by and large, the starting lineup next year, outside of Josh Hubbard, I don't really know who I would pencil into it. What does he look like next year when it's a lot more of his team of guys that he brought in? You know, Jeffries of the starting lineup tonight for State, Tolu, Matthews, Jeffries, and Shaq Moore were here when Chris Jans arrived. So Jans is going to have, when Jans was hired, he talked in great detail about the transfer portal and how he was going to be aggressive in it and attack in it. And then he didn't really have to this first year because he brought everybody back. And he didn't have to do it this year because, you know, everybody returned. And you don't expect that, but that's what happened. Next year, we'll see if Jans can hold true to his opening day promises of being able to go out and attack the transfer portal. So we shall see. We shall see. This team, though, I don't feel like they're underachieving at this particular moment, but I do feel like they could be a little bit better. And I don't know if those two things are mutually exclusive or am I saying the same thing twice there? Am I being redundant? I don't know. I just feel like there's another level for this team that if they could ever find it, they would be able to compete with anybody in the country. But because they can't, they struggle at times. Another turnover there. That's four turnovers for State in the first 7 minutes of this game. That's an issue. That's a big issue for Mississippi State. They got to find that out. And I don't quite know how you do it because, you know, if Deshaun Davis is, like I said, he's just not played well the last few weeks. And so if he can't, he's really the only true point guard. Hubbard, I don't think, is a true point guard. I think he's a guy who gives you a lot of scoring. He's great at the two, and he can play the point, but I don't know if he is the guy you want leading that offense up every possession, because I want him to be looking to shoot, not looking to set up the offense, if that makes sense. So this team's going to be back and forth this year. I think they're going to be up and down. I think at the end of the day, you go into the selection Sunday confident the team's in, not worrying about being in the play-in game or anything like that. But you are going to have to watch this team struggle at times, and then at times you're going to watch them and go, wow, they can play with anybody in the country. So it's just like last year, they can't shoot from the text line. Yeah, I thought that they were going to be like last year's team, but Hubbard and Taylor were going to be able to give them some shooting. Instead, it's just Hubbard. If Taylor were on this team and giving you what you projected from him, might have a different scenario. So, all right, let's talk football when we come back. Mississippi State hosted some recruits this weekend, including one who I think holds a big, big part of Mississippi State's future. We'll talk about him when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Rhino adding some new hits to the bumper music. I like that. It's a good song too, so I'm down with that. Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Don't forget, if you're listening to the basketball game, you're not going to hear me say this, but I say it every week. If you miss this show, it's always available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Always right there for you. Anywhere you get podcasts from, just subscribe. Please subscribe and review. 5 stars only, though. Now, make a deal. You can say whatever you want about me personally in the review. Just make sure that it's 5 stars as you do. 11:20 left in the first half. 21-14 Kentucky. State got within a point, but now Kentucky starting to pull away yet again. Bulldogs trying to get back in it via the three-pointer, a couple from Sean Jones off the bench. Hubbard hit one, but Hubbard just missed one and then fouled on the rebound. So we'll see where it goes. All right, this past weekend at Mississippi State, Jeff Lebby hosted a bunch of 2025 recruits. I feel like the 2024 recruiting class, by and large, is kind of sealed up for State. They'll look at to do some stuff after the spring. But between now and the end of spring practice, not going to be a lot of recruiting news for Mississippi State regarding this year's class. So, you know, the focus moves to 2025. And you had some big-time players on campus last weekend. Tyler Lockhart, who is probably the top linebacker in the state from Winona. His brother TJ just committed and signed with Mississippi State just a month ago. You had Cortez Thomas on campus, who's the number one defensive back in the state next year. Out of Holmes County High School, that's Holmes County Central. That's a place where State's done well over the past couple of years. Terrence Hibbler just signed from there. Joseph Head, Kamari Rogers went there. But the guy that everybody was talking about is Caleb Cunningham. Hey, Caleb Cunningham is consensus the top player in the state. Doesn't matter what recruiting service you look at, he's number one. 5-star player, ranked as high as I think as number 11 in the country, regardless of position. A wide receiver out of Choctaw County High School in Ackerman. Big, physical, I mean, he looks the part of a big-time wide receiver. If you follow Mississippi State recruiting through the years, you know that that is something that they've never signed, a 5-star receiver. I swear, if anybody on the text line says Eric Maltz, first off, he wasn't. He wasn't coming out of high school. But secondly, the point remains, you had to go back to 1992 to get a guy. So, or 91, I guess. So Cunningham was on campus last weekend. I saw him talking with Jeff Lebby, with Chad Bumpus. He was there talking with some of MSU's current signees, J.J. Harrell and Stonka Burnside. And this week, for the two of the national recruiting writers from On3, Sam Spiegelman and Chad Simmons, put in their RPM predictions, which is whatever their I think it stands for recruiting prediction machine, whatever their crystal ball is. They predicted him to end up at Mississippi State. I can't stress enough how important it is for Jeff Lebby to win that recruiting battle. You've got a kid close to Starkville, obviously has a great relationship with some of your players, has a great relationship with his position coach, potential position coach. You play in an offense that features the wide receiver. They put up big numbers in your offense. You have that reputation. Everything is moving in your direction. You've got to get this kid in the boat. You've got to sign this kid, this five-star receiver. And Mississippi State needs this guy from just never mind that you need him from a football standpoint. You know, never mind that it would be great to have a five-star receiver on the roster. Just from a perception standpoint, this is one you can't really let get away. You need him to sign with you next December. Now, again, there's a lot of confidence that that's going to be the case right now. But I have been around the state for a long time, and I know how recruiting goes. And nobody's just going to give up because Caleb Cunningham says he likes Mississippi State, or even if he commits to Mississippi State. It will be a battle until pen hits paper on signing day. So for me, you know, I think back through the years, you know, and State kind of shook some of that perception this year getting Harrell and Burnside, right? Those were the two top receivers in the state, and Mississippi State went out and got them. And I think Chad Bumpus is a guy who is going to give Mississippi State a leg up with the top receiver prospects in this state year in and year out. I think he's going to be a big positive boost for Mississippi State. If you really want to get into, you know, you really want to look at it from another perspective, Ole Miss today losing Derek Nix, their wide receiver coach, and a guy who I think most people would agree was the best recruiter on that staff, can't hurt you with Caleb Cunningham. Last year, you know, you look at the players in the state of Mississippi, and State, you know, they did okay, but they could have done better. And they did not get they didn't do as well in the state as maybe you would like, especially when you consider that you had, what, four or five four-star defensive linemen in the state of Mississippi last year, and you didn't get one of them. Didn't get one. Ole Miss got four, and Auburn got the other one. And for State, you know, for a school that has had that perception of being a place where they've done well on the defensive line, they've put guys in the pros, to miss out on all of them was a little bit of a head-scratcher. Yeah, I can understand not getting them all, but to not get one at the same time was difficult. But then State turns it around, like I said, and they get the two receivers, which is something they traditionally have not done. In years past, it would have been the other way around. Ole Miss would have gotten Burnside and Harrell, and State would have gotten the defensive lineman. Times have changed. And I think Pete Golding did a good job for Ole Miss in recruiting those guys, and they sold them on the vision there. Good job. So State this year, though, the top player in the state, Caleb Cunningham, State has to put him in the boat. They have to find a way to get him in there. Never mind that it'd be great to have him, right? You think about going into 2025 and you've got Cunningham and Burnside and Harrell and Mario Craver and Sanfrisco McGee, and you've got a great young receiver core. But State just needs to be able to say that, you know, Mississippi State always likes to make that statement that the best players in Mississippi go to Mississippi State, that they are the school that year in, year out has more Mississippi players on it than anybody else does. But you can't allow year in and year out to have that happen and not get the top player in the state. And how long has it been for State since they got the number one guy in this state? Or how many years out of five have they done it? I mean, if I go back 5 years, you know, 2019, they got Charles Cross, who was a late bloomer there for the top guy in the state. Most of the year it was N'Kobe Dean, who ended up at Georgia. 2020, the top guy in the state was McKinley Jackson. If you want to do a re-rank at this point, you would probably move Emmanuel Forbes to the top. But, again, just by the rankings at the time, they didn't get the top guy in the state. 2021, it was Deion Smith. We all know his story. He went to LSU, then to junior college, and now he's going to be at Ole Miss. And then 2022... top guy in the state was Jaheim Otis, now a big-time player for Alabama. And then, as we mentioned with 2023, Kamari and Franklin. I'm sorry, last year they moved. I forgot. Another late riser. Oh, no, I'm right. That was 2024. 2023, Suncerene Perkins. He's at Ole Miss. So it's been a while for State. It's been since 2019 since the number one player in the state has ended up as a Bulldog. So they need to find a way to break that trend this year. The good news is, like I said, it feels, you know, in the early going, it's January. So we're 10 months away, 11 months away. In fact, we might be 11 months to the day. When you think about it, this is the third Wednesday of January. It's the third Wednesday of December when we'll have signing day. So we might be 11 months to the day away from that moment. But Mississippi State, and I will say this, you know, for all the struggles State has had in this 2024 class in the transfer portal on the defensive side of the ball, offensively they've been fine. But on the defensive side of the ball, they've struggled. It appears the 25 class, the high school class, is going to be pretty good for Mississippi State. The early returns look good. Again, we have 11 months to go, which I find it interesting that these guys have sort of swung and missed on the transfer portal, but it feels like they're doing okay building relationships with the high school guys. And I still think that long-term for Mississippi State, that's what the program's going to be. It's going to be a program built on development and high school guys and keeping guys around, using the Bulldog Initiative for retention as much as anything, and using the portal to fill some holes here and there, more so than what Ole Miss does. You know, I think State and Ole Miss are going to be a contrast in styles in that for as long as Lane Kiffin's there anyway. Now, if a new coach takes over at any point for Ole Miss, and I'm not saying that's happening, I'm just saying it could, then perhaps that could change. And it's possible that State could end up with a new coach at some point that wants to change their focus to focus more on the transfer portal. But right now it feels like Lebby is trying to put together a top-tier class for 2025. Now, what's top-tier for Mississippi State? We're not talking about a top 10, top 8 class. But if State could be in the top 20, maybe 17th or 18th nationally, that would be a big, big step forward for the Bulldogs. It's a good year in the state of Mississippi. We've had back-to-back really solid years in this state. Talent-wise, a lot of four-star kids next year and a couple of five-stars, as we mentioned. So, all right, we'll be back in just a minute. I want to talk some baseball. It's time to have that conversation. We'll do it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for spending part of your Wednesday with me. Mississippi State getting run off the floor up at Rupp Arena. 40-22 at the four-minute mark. Bulldogs shooting 34%. Kentucky shooting 56%. Five Bulldog turnovers. Tolu Smith on the night, just not feeling it. 2 points on 1-of-3 shooting. He missed a couple of free throws. Two turnovers. Just nothing doing for State in this game, and there's nothing doing, and State just getting beat up pretty badly. So we'll see where that takes them, see if they can put together something in the second half to come back. As we sit on this day, we are 29 days away from the start of the college baseball season. We will Mississippi State will have already played a game by this point 1 month from now. Opening weekend at Diddy Noble. Air Force Academy is the opponent. In a season that is quite honestly, it's just make or break for Chris Lemonis. It is either win or go home. You won a national title. No one can ever take that away. But since then, you've had back-to-back seasons of finishing below 500 in the conference and missing the NCAA tournament and missing the SEC tournament. And it just in general has been poor for the Bulldogs. And so you make a change with bringing in Justin Parker to replace Scott Foxhall. You go to the portal to get a couple of pieces. You missed out on some guys you really wanted in the portal. They're both a couple of your SEC rivals. You'll see them again, but you won't have them. And so the question becomes, have you done enough? Have you made enough changes to improve to the point that you're going to get back into postseason play? I guess the first real question for me is, and this one I need to get a better pulse on for the Mississippi State fan base, is what is the acceptable result this year? What is the result that he achieves it and you're willing to say you're good to go to come back for 2025? Is it simply making the tournament? Is that enough? Does he need to host a regional? Does it need to be a full-blown, okay, this team is back, top, you know, eight seed, hosting possible super regional team? You know, what is it? Because I got to be honest. If you tell me, well, they just need to get back into postseason play, what a sad state of affairs for Mississippi State baseball. You know, you're supposed to be, you thought that coming out of that national title, this program was about to take off, and instead all it's done is flounder. And so they've got to find a way this year to be better. And that starts with pitching. You know, I feel like offensively, Hunter Hines and Dakota Jordan, David Mershon, Ross Highfill, the Amani Larry, the transfer, Logan Kohler at third, Bryce Chance will probably be out there in the outfield somewhere. I feel like you got enough pop in the lineup that you'll be able to put some runs on the board. But last year's pitching was a systemic failure, and I've used that word a lot. It wasn't just one guy or two guys. The entire staff had issues throwing strikes, competing in at-bats. They gave away far too many runners. Defensively, you had some big issues. You hope that you've shored that up. You kind of did last year with Marshawn moving to short, taking over the shortstop job, and you hope that Kohler can come in and give you a lot more steady defensive presence than did Slade Alford. But it starts with not putting guys on base for free, and State did that way, way too much last year to beat anybody. And so Justin Parker comes in, and that's what your hope is. You hope that, okay, think about this. Let's try to put things in football terms. If the defense was bad, but you knew you had talented players, you'd recruited well, and you're like, these guys clearly are talented players. You know, you look at draft reports, you're like, they still like these guys. You change defensive coordinators, and then you assume, okay, well, this guy knows what he's doing. He'll fix it. The same thing is kind of true with Mississippi State and the pitching staff. And one of the analogies I made with the pitching staff and Mississippi State baseball is kind of similar to what I've made for football, that I said, you know, even if State is going to struggle a bit defensively this year, they should be able to score enough points on the football field to be a bowl team. I think the same thing can be said for this team offensively in baseball. They should be able to score enough runs that if they're just okay, if they're just average, if they're just a C-minus pitching team, they'll be fine and they can get into the postseason. But last year they were an F. They were the worst pitching team in the conference by a large margin. They gave up 7 earned runs per game. Never mind unearned runs. They gave up 7 earned runs per game. You can't beat anybody doing that. So that's where it starts. You know, what's that rotation going to look like? I think that, you know, Colby Holcomb will play a role. Gerangelo Sanjay will play a role. Carson Ligon will play a role. Kyle Steven will play a role. The 2 transfers there from Miami and Purdue. I think Bradley Lofton can play a role for Mississippi State as far as the starting rotation goes. And then you look into the bullpen. And, you know, having Stone Simmons and Brooks Auger back, I think, is a big bonus for Mississippi State. Those are two guys that can give you some consistency, give you some innings there. If you can get Pico Khan back, I don't know how much of an impact he can give you this year. You bring in a guy, Cam Schulke, who I think is a very interesting player, a guy who, you know, throws from a bunch of different arm slots and can give you some different look, give hitters a bunch of different looks. I think Evan Sieri can be good for Mississippi State this year. I think he was in limited. He had some moments last year you saw where he was at least willing to compete and throw strikes. So you got some options there, and I know I'm leaving some guys out, but that pitching staff just has to be better. Can he shave off a run and a half from your ERA? Can you be at 5.5, which would still be bad? But at least it would give you some opportunities to be able to stay in the game. You know, you can't do anything when you're constantly giving up 7-8 runs a game. You just can't. And if you can just be, you know, 4 or 5 runs per game, you have a chance there to be better and to win some games. Now, one thing I do like about this team is that I'm looking up stats, team ERA. Of course, the SEC website is totally useless. This team's schedule, guys, it's built to win. It's built to win. When you look at the non-conference, I mean, they're built to be undefeated when they play the first conference game. The toughest game they have is against Southern Miss, and that game is in Pearl on March 5th. But Air Force, Austin Peay, Georgia Southern, Jackson State, Mount St. Mary's, before that, I mean, I could be okay with dropping one of those games, but if they drop two, no, not good. Then they play Evansville for a weekend series, 2 games down in Biloxi against South Alabama. South Alabama, year in, year out, pretty good program. And then UNO. And then you come back home to host LSU. Of course, you haven't beaten LSU at home in a series since, I think, 2006, I think is the correct answer to that. Conference play is what it is. You look at the top 25 that was released. LSU is ranked. Texas A&M is ranked. Florida is ranked. I believe Georgia is ranked. Ole Miss not ranked, but it's Ole Miss, right? I don't believe Auburn's ranked. Vanderbilt is ranked. Alabama, I'm not sure if they're ranked or not. Arkansas, I know, is a top 5 team. And then you finish the year with Missouri. There's no quarter given, so you've got to find a way to. I mean, in non-conference play, you play what? 26 games. You need to be 24-2 in those games, 23-3 in those games, at worst, if you want to be an NCAA tournament team, and then maybe you can get in being, you know, 13-17, maybe even 12-18 in the conference, but it would be tied at 12-18. And that's where I think this team is. You know, if they're better than that, they're gonna surprise me. They're going to surprise me if they're better than that. So, very, very interesting season coming up. You know, one like we've not, I mean, I think about my time at Mississippi State. You know, Ron Polk's last season, he was coming off of a College World Series appearance, and then he announced his retirement. So there was no, he's on the hot seat, right? John Cohen, his last season at State, hosted a Super Regional. Now, he had a little bit of a hot seat deal there in 2015 going into 2016, but he answered those critics. He didn't have back-to-back bad seasons after his first 2 years in Starkville where he was rebuilding. McMahon always had great seasons. You know, Canizero is what it is. This is the first time really in my this is the first time in my lifetime that I'm watching Mississippi State baseball flounder for a 3-season period. And that's not why you spend all that money on Duty Noble Field. That's not why you spend all that money, you know, in NIL. That's not why you do these things. Mississippi State baseball is supposed to be competing for Omaha each and every year. And I'm not telling anybody anything when I say that. All right. Chris Lamonas would tell you that. So they've got to figure that out. And it starts 29 days from today against Air Force. If I had to guess, guys, first pitch on a Friday in February, 3:00, right as Sports Talk Mississippi goes on the air, Mississippi State and Air Force. That's just a guess. I don't know anything for sure. They'll announce it later. We'll wrap things up when we come back. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thank you.
Wrapping things up with you here on a Wednesday evening. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Don't forget, if you don't subscribe to Super Talk Mississippi podcast, what are you doing? You don't know as much as you could. Thunder and Lightning, the Rebel Report, the Eagle Hour, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. It's all right there. Free of charge. Free sports information for you right there, wherever you get podcasts from each and every day. Not a great showing for Mississippi State in the first half. Bulldogs down 47-29 at the break in Lexington. So down 18. State's just not good enough defensively in this game. Kentucky shooting 52%, 17 of 33 from the field. They're 8 of 10 from the line. They forced 8 Bulldog turnovers. They're plus 4 on the boards. Just not great for Mississippi State. In transition, 9 fast break points, 10 points off turnover. State only 2 points off the 4 turnovers they've been able to force from Kentucky. Just like to see State get back into it in the second half. I don't hold any aspirations of the Bulldogs winning this game, but if they were able to, you know, make it a somewhat interesting event, that would be a good start for them, just to get out of this game with some confidence heading into this game with Vanderbilt. We've been talking about Vanderbilt a lot, and you know, obviously the worst team in the conference by far. They would be a quad four loss for anybody who plays them. They're 240s in the net. They are not going to go 0-18. They're just not. So you don't want to be the team that gets got by them. State has them Saturday in the hump. You want to finish this second half a little strong, just so you have some momentum going into that game, because they're good enough to beat some teams, and you just don't want it to be you. If it is, you know, I'm not saying season over, but I am saying it would be really, really tough, because even though right now the Southern loss is still a quad three, it will probably drop to quad four. 2 quad four losses in a season would be really hard to overcome for Mississippi State. So we'll see. But that game is Saturday, 2:30. Some guy named Richard Cross will be on the call for the SEC Network. I don't know if I've heard of that guy or not. He sounds like he'd be a problem. I don't know if I like him or not. Ah, goodness. We aren't too far away from the start of spring football when you think about it. You know, looking at this baseball schedule got me thinking about that. I mean, Super Bulldog weekend is in April. It's April the 19th is when it starts, right? So that means April 20th is your spring game. They normally start about 30 days plus ahead of that, because they like to, you know, they give spring break off. They try to spread everything out. At least that's what Leach did. I don't know what Lebby will do. But means you think that, you know, around opening weekend is when, you know, maybe a week after that, so maybe like 35, 36 days away from the start of spring football practice. And the real start of the Jeff Lebby era at Mississippi State. It's, you know, when you think about things like this, it's just not that far away. And I'm fascinated to see what the first spring game looks like under Lebby. You know, with Leach, he didn't give a care for them, right? It wasn't his thing. So he just went out there and he used them as a practice, and it wasn't really a spring game. Mullen, you know, especially in his first couple years, as he tried to build some excitement for the program, you know, would go out there and try to put on a little bit of a show in those games. So I think Lebby does the same, right? I think he does that. He wants to show off the offense, let Shapen and Parson throw the ball all over the field and try to put some points and have a 42-41 kind of spring game, just to give everybody some excitement going into the fall. So State will be fine. This is what happens when you meet an elite opponent at their house. I mean, I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, you'd like to see a little bit more from State. You want State to be a little bit better than when they're showing tonight, because they're just not playing well. I think it's less to do with what Kentucky's doing and more to do with what State is not doing in this game. They're just playing poorly. So we shall see. We shall see. Interesting week of you know, this is that spot in the calendar where really all you have is basketball. We're getting into baseball, and football is kind of wrapping up. Don't think we have a whole lot of recruiting news to report between now and then. So we need the basketball dogs to get going. I will say this: I want to give a shout out to Coach Sam Purcell. Got the win over Ole Miss on Sunday. That tied me up with Richard Cross in our year long battle to see who has to dress in the other's colors at the Palmer Home Radiothon. Last year I won easily, but to point out that was easily a season ago. This year's going to be a battle, but it is 2-2. I have soccer and a women's basketball game. Next matchup is just over the 30th of January in the Pavilion. We'll see Mississippi State and Ole Miss tangle in men's basketball. So hopefully I can get another win there. And we will push on to getting Richard decked out in maroon and white for the second straight year at the Palmer Home. Guys, I want to thank you for tuning in to Thunder and Lightning Live. I always appreciate it, getting this new year started with you. And I want to thank Rhino down there in Studio X. Another flawless show. He's pitched however many shows we've had. They've all been perfect on his end anyway. I appreciate that. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. This has been Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.